And now, the KHMB Featured Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
This is John Williams with the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Have you ever wondered what that magic stuff that comes out of your tap, where it comes from, who treats it, how it gets to you, where it's collected? To answer these questions and more is Kathleen Brennan, an analyst with Coastside Water District. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So what is your distribution area for the Coastside Water District? What is the territory?
So Coastside County Water District service area includes the city of Half Moon Bay and then the unincorporated communities of Miramar, El Granada, Princeton. We also serve the Moon Ridge area, and we also serve an area down San Mateo Road.
I understand you have five water sources to supply water. What are those?
Yes, so Coastside County Water District receives water from the SFPUC. We have two sources that we purchase water from. That's the Pillar Cedars Reservoir, which is in the local mountain range, the Santa Cruz Mountain Range, and also Upper Crystal Springs Reservoir, which is off of 92, and most people drive by it most days. And then we also have three local sources. We have Pillar Cedars Creek that we can use during the winter months, and we have Denniston Creek. And we also have a well filled in the near the Denniston Airport that we can use to supplement Denniston Creek.
And you have about 100 miles of transmission and distribution pipelines. Out of curiosity, what's the difference between those two?
So since we do have many sources and it's all raw water, meaning untreated water, we have to bring that water to our treatment plants. So all the piping that goes from the source of water to the treatment plant is considered raw water or transmission lines, as we refer to it. Then we have our distribution services, which are the treated water. So everything after the treatment plants, how the water gets, all the piping that goes to everybody's house or business within our service area, that's the distribution system.
And you mentioned the treatment centers, the treatment plants. Denniston Water, is that correct?
Yes. So we have the Nunez Water Treatment Plant, which kind of covers, technically it's in the unincorporated area, but it's right above the high school on Carter Hill. That treatment plant is a conventional treatment plant. And then we also have, in the northern part of our service area in Moss Beach, we have the Denniston Treatment Plant, which is a direct filtration treatment plant. And that plant treats all the water from Denniston Creek and our well filled.
And presumably from Montara Mountain?
No, I assume it's possible that Montara Mountain is close to Pillar Cedars Lake, and so we could get runoff from that mountain shed into Pillar Cedars Lake. But Pillar Cedars Reservoir is a little south of Montara Mountain.
And once it gets to the treatment plants, you treat it for what kinds of things?
Oh, lots of things. Basically, we're trying to remove all the suspended solids. We're trying to remove taste and odor and control the temperature. You know, so we will add chemicals to try to attract all of those suspended solids and get them to settle out. And then we will filter the water as a polishing step, and we'll disinfect the water at the very end to make sure that it's safe to drink and all of the bacteria and viruses are deactivated, as they say. So that, and then we'll keep that disinfection through the distribution pipe so that it stays disinfected till it reaches the property, our customers.
Oh, you pump it through the pipes?
Yes, we.
Interesting.
We pump water, or it goes by gravity, but it's okay. Under pressure. Yes,
under pressure. And I see that iron and manganese are two elements you take out. And why is that? And where do they come from?
Well, iron and manganese are naturally occurring, and it's mostly found in groundwater sources locally here. They pose a taste and color and issue, they're considered secondary elements that need to be removed from the water. And what's really only, we only have an issue with that really in our Denniston watershed from the wells there.
And is the monitoring process continuous or something you do, say, at any given time or in batches?
Monitoring is continuous. There's certain things that are critical that we monitor for all the time, pH being one, turbidity of the water being another, color, odor. There's other tests that we run daily to weekly to monthly, depending what it is. We test for bacteria, viruses, anything like that that could harm people. We also do routine testing for a whole list of heavy metals, volatile organics, anything that is known to, you know, be in the drinking water and might cause harm to people.
Like I said at the beginning, I think we take water for granted, and it's amazing to see what goes on behind the scenes that's unbeknownst to the public.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that. And once it gets to the houses, and I'm assuming that the greatest amount of customers are residential, correct?
And within our service area, about 55% of the water use is what we call residential. So it either goes to multifamily or single-family residences.
And once it gets to the families, you have automatic meter reading. What is that?
Yeah, so we have what's called advanced meter infrastructure. And what that is the reads, we don't have to physically go to the meter. They're transmitted by a radio signal, and we can capture that signal. So every hour, the reader, that we will take a read from all the meters within our service area and capture that. And people are able to look at their hourly reads. All the customers can sign up for a program we call WaterSmart. And they can, there's a little bit of a delay, like 8 hour to 12 hour delay, but you can see how much water you're using and when you're using it.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Oh, sophisticated.
Yeah.
No idea.
It really helps our customers.
Yeah. It's good to know. I'll get that URL or address from you at the end, but customers can go to your site.
Yeah, they can go to our website or they can, or, you know, and contact us and we can set them up.
Brilliant. What happens in a drought?
Well, droughts can lead to water shortages. That's our biggest concern as a water purveyor. And so what happens is there's less water available to treat and provide for our customers, and we have to monitor that closely. We have a water shortage contingency plan that we submit to the state every 5 years, and so we have a plan set up to implement our water shortage contingency plan to help our customers reduce or ration is a common word, the amount of water they use. And depending on the severity of the drought, it could be anywhere from 10% to greater, up to 60%. We have a plan in place to help our customers reduce their water consumption.
And currently, what is an average household usage amount?
So currently, well, per person, we have about 47 gallons per day per person is what's being used in the residential sector. And then the typical bill of a single family is about 2 units per person. On average, maybe 3 people in a household. So the average bill is maybe 5 to 6 units per month. And a 1 unit, billing unit, is 748 gallons. You know, that's pretty low. That's gone down quite a bit over since I've been here. It's even low for the state of California. We're lucky because our climate is so mild compared to like Sacramento or some other area where they would in hotter areas, there's more demand for irrigation. There's more swimming pools. People might take showers more often to cool off. So the mild climate definitely helps us out.
Well, that prompts a thought. I see less and less lawns in landscaping and sometimes, to my dismay, artificial lawns. But nonetheless, that's going to have to account for much less water usage, I think.
Yeah. I mean, people making their priorities and they don't want to spend their, you know, have a high water bill for irrigating a lawn. So we have a lot of our customers putting in more water efficient landscaping. So that's another reason we have such low water usage.
Keep it up, guys.
Yeah,
excellent movement. Is there anything you would like to tell your customers before we wrap?
If they want to learn more about the Coastside County Water District, I would refer them to our website, which is coastsidewater.org. And you can find information about the Water Smart program. You can find our urban water management plan and our water shortage contingency plan on the website. You can find out more about our sources. And if you're interested in water quality, you can also find our water quality report. We do that annually, so the next one that's coming out will be by July of this year. So there's lots to learn, so our website's a good resource.
Thank you. Very informational, very insightful. Appreciate it. Well, this is John Williams, KHMB, Feature Story of the Week.
Our thanks to John Williams for this edition of the Feature Story of the Week. And for Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson.